The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Rare Diseases Ireland are calling for the government to step in and ensure better health and better lives for hundreds of babies born in Ireland every year. They're calling for an expansion of screening services to enable a quicker diagnosis for rare diseases. They've also launched a new campaign called Get Rare Aware. Now, I'm joined in studio by Vicky McGrath, CEO of Rare Diseases Ireland, but I'm also joined by Gillian Dunn, who's living with neurofibromatosis, which is a rare genetic disorder. Good morning and welcome to you both.
Morning. Morning.
Gillian, we'll start with you. What is neurofibromatosis?
It's a genetic disorder which causes tumours to grow on nerve endings anywhere in the body. It can show itself in brain or bone deformities, scoliosis, tumours, your optic gliomas.
So it has many manifestations?
Yes, it does.
And which are the ones that have bothered you particularly over the years?
With benign tumours on my spine, on my bladder, and headaches. And I have epileptic and non-epileptic seizures as well due to
my
pain.
Goodness. So it has many, many afflictions attached to this. Now,
yes,
your children also have this?
Yeah, my four children. So I have twins, they're 14, an 11-year-old and a 5-year-old little girl.
Now, the twins were diagnosed at different times.
Yes. My little boy, Paul, he was diagnosed at 18 months because we had noticed the cafe au lait patches on his skin. And he was quite a sick preemie baby as well. So they kind of took more of an interest in making sure everything was okay. And then my daughter, Charlotte, she was 5. She was 5 when she was diagnosed because the cafe au lait only start showing then with her. But she had a plexiform, which is a sheet tumour on her arm. And we were told originally it was a strawberry. So for years we didn't know.
That this was a symptom of neurofibromatosis
until we had seen two doctors.
Now, was there a difference in the treatment, therefore, when you got with your son, the first of the twins, an earlier diagnosis? Now, it's not that early, 18 months. And perhaps if it had been diagnosed earlier, there might even be a better outcome. But different outcomes for the two children because they were diagnosed at a different stage.
Yes, and even getting waiting lists for appointments. Like Paul, he was seen by Crumlin in different departments. So that was good. But then Charlotte, she was kind of left and she fell through cracks. So then by the time she needed appointments, she was kind of left waiting on waiting lists and then referred from one service to another.
Now, the younger children, because the older children had been diagnosed with neurofibromatosis, do they go for testing then?
Yes, they both got testing.
And this is a genetic test to see whether they had the condition. How are they affected by this?
My Raphael, he has a couple of lesions on his brain. He has optic glioma on the back of his eyes. He's epilepsy. He's a diagnosis of autism. And he gets aches and pains and headaches. And my daughter, she suffers with clicky jaw, but we were told there's actually a lesion in her jaw, which is causing her jaw to click in and click out. She suffers with headaches as well.
That's a terrible set of afflictions for the children to bear. Are there treatments that can deal with the lesions? And if so, and they're removed, do they recur?
Most of the time they do grow back, but there is, for the optic gliomas, they can give you chemotherapy, or there's chemotherapy drugs that they can give, or it's just a matter of treating the symptoms.
Could they have been diagnosed at birth if there was a screening process for
them? Yes, they probably could have been. And the heel prick would have made a massive difference.
Would that have made, in the way they were treated, would it have prevented any of these things or just make sure there was a watching brief on them all the time?
It would be watching them better and they'd have a better quality of life as well and better services.
Looking down the road, is there any genetic treatment for neurofibromatosis? That would, some gene editing, or have you heard of any of those kind of treatments suggested?
The Neurofibromatosis Association of Ireland, they're working with Stanford University and other the UK as well, the Children's Tumour Trust. So we're looking at genetic testing, clinical trials, and a cream that's for the inoperable plexiforms. But it costs money, but it is better that we get that in the country for many people.
Now, this is just one of the rare diseases, and there are quite a number of them, but because I suppose they are called rare, you don't come across each one that often. But when you take a collective, Vicky, of maybe 30 different conditions, that adds up to quite a lot of children, doesn't it?
Absolutely. So there are over 6,000 plus rare diseases that we know about today. And I guess as science is continuing to do investigations and research, more and more are becoming known. I guess, you know, our campaign is around just people getting a better understanding of rare diseases generally, and specifically in terms of newborn screening. It's about the fact that in Ireland, we were one of the first countries in the world to introduce newborn screening back in the late 60s.
And this is the heel prick test.
The heel prick test, exactly. Sorry, yes, the heel prick test, which every mother and father would know when their newborn is.
And in the 60s, how many things were they screening for?
They started with PKU, which is still screened for today, so phenylketonuria. We have a higher incidence of it in Ireland, and they start with that, and that is something where a baby can't process proteins properly, and it can cause intellectual disability and other complications. And by simply changing the diet, and when I say simply, I'm like, it is a hard life for people living with PKU in terms of the amount of protein.
But you can avoid the brain damage.
But you can avoid the brain damage, exactly.
Okay, so that was the first one. Then they added a number over the years.
They've added a number over the years. So we're up to 9 today. Some of the more recent ones, so they added a portion of the severe combined immune deficiency condition, so ADA SCID, cystic fibrosis is now screened for at birth. So, you know, slowly they have added on. There are other more rare ones. Maple syrup urine disease is one of them. Yeah. But, you know, there are a number of them that are screened for today. But across Europe, you know, there's 30 or 40 different conditions screened for in different countries. And, you know, we are saying we really need to ramp this up.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the stats. Austria, Italy, Portugal and Russia test for a minimum of 30 conditions. Slovakia, Ukraine, Poland, Hungary, Czech Republic, Estonia, Germany, Finland, Denmark, Norway, Netherlands and Sweden screen babies for a minimum of 20 conditions.
Yeah.
So we're way off.
We're way behind. And they would compare us to the UK, but the UK isn't a good example here because they too are way behind. So, you know, we all need to up our game, I think, in terms of newborn screening. Mm. We know that about 37% of people are waiting 5 years for a rare disease diagnosis. And that's because, you know, symptoms can be mixed and, you know, you're jumping from pillar to post.
If you can detect that the presence of these conditions, therefore you can keep a watching brief for the development of symptoms and so on, and maybe there are therapies that will avoid the development of symptoms.
There are absolutely therapies, and more therapies coming online today. The recent addition of a drug like Zolgensma for spinal muscular atrophy, Libmeldi for MLD, for multiple leukocyte dystrophy. These are new gene therapies that are curative. So at the moment, you're essentially waiting for a child to deteriorate before you can diagnose these conditions and give them access to these therapies.
In the lab, when they do the heel prick test, and every newborn baby has the test taken, so it's a drop of blood. How much more cumbersome would it be to test for 30 rather than 9?
Some of them could be added onto the existing equipment, and it's just the addition of different chemical reagents for the actual test. So those are reasonably straightforward. Some of them will require more lab equipment and stuff like that. So some of the newer additions are requiring more lab equipment. So they need the lab to be moved to the new children's hospital. It's on the same footprint that it was on in the 1960s. So that'll tell you how much investment has gone into newborn screening over the last 40 or 50 years. But, you know, I guess what we're calling for is a systematic addition that as we move the lab to the new children's hospital, that we look at adding 5, 6, 7 new rare diseases every year so that we can start to catch up with our European counterparts and keep track with these.
How would a rare disease qualify, if you like, for the heel prick test? Does it depend on the likely population of people with this condition? Because you could search for certain things that might never occur in Ireland. Now, up to recently, sickle cell disease would not have been a feature here, But with immigration from Africa and so on, it is very much
absolutely
a feature of
and that's one of the conditions that we're looking to add to the screening panel. So, I mean, there are a set of criteria, I guess we call them the Unger-Wilson criteria, and it's around access to therapies, access to treatment, you know, this wait or watching, kind of like what are the things that can be done if you do diagnose the disease early? And then there, you know, are there actually the capabilities to screen a population? Are you going to get lots of false positives or false negatives and things like that? You know, is the technology there? So, you know, those are all part of the criteria for making that decision.
Now, are there any ethical issues here? Are there insurance issues? You know, when someone knows they're growing up with a particular condition, they wonder, maybe, am I insurable when I'm going for a mortgage?
Well, that's, you know, if you're diagnosed with any condition.
Yeah, sure, but finding a partner in life and saying, well, you have the CF gene, I have the CF gene, you know.
Well, I mean, there's things like pre-implantation genetic screening. So you can actually, sure, work around, you know, if you create an embryo and just transplant embryos that are free. So, I mean, I guess science and technology is moving on. Yes, there are questions around insurance and, you know, insurance companies are not supposed to be able to use that type of information to prevent you from getting access. But certainly the mortgage question. And that's a really interesting one in terms of the cystic fibrosis community that used to have a life expectancy of 30 or 40. And now they're living up to 60, 70. And they're now thinking about pensions, like your previous talker was talking about. You know, these are things that are actually now becoming real world, first world problems for them now.
Now, I take it that your lobbying is really aimed at the politicians.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If we can get the politicians on board and just recognising the rare disease community, there's a lot can be done. So definitely. So what we're really looking for is the infrastructure to allow conditions to be added.
Finally, I should ask you about how many people have rare diseases. I mean, I know you've made the analogy of politicians campaigning for the elections and they knock on hundreds of doors.
Mm-hmm.
How many times in that voyage of canvassing, are they going to come across a household with a rare disease?
Oh, I would say the average number of people in a house, I guess, maybe three. So 1 in 17 people are living with a rare disease. So every classroom in the country has a child diagnosed with a rare disease by the time they're turning 18. So it's about 300,000 people in the country are estimated to be living with rare diseases. So individually rare, collectively common.
All right. Well, it's a very worthy campaign. I hope the minister particularly is listening. Vicky McGrath, who's CEO of Rare Diseases Ireland, and Gillian Dunn, who has neurofibromatosis, and her four children as well have that rare genetic disorder. Thank you both very much for joining us in studio today.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.